WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Joey Chestnut, all-time athlete.
Oh, here we go.
Was perspiring like a madman. Took down 70 and a half glizzies at Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Hang on. And a half? They count that?
Yeah, they do.
Sports Talk Saturday.
When he's not dunking them in water and shoving them down, like, yeah, it's much, it's probably much easier to enjoy. Like, imagine, you got a cup full of water, you just shove your hand into it with a hot dog in it, and then you just ingest it all at once.
I think we've lost Derek for the show. No, 7 into the show and we've lost Derek.
It's unbelievable to think about.
This is why I don't talk about
it. On WGR.
Because imagine if the bun's stale.
Oh, stop.
Then you have to dunk a stale bun. It's like embracing the crunch of the stale donut, but it's a stale hot dog bun.
Sports Radio 550.
You had to do it. You had to do it.
He did. That he did. Embrace the crunch.
I'm thoroughly upset. We'll talk to Alex Brasky in just a moment here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the open, really.
That's what an all-time athlete gets open-wise right there.
To my program director, Alan Davis, I'm going on strike if we talk more about the hot dog eating competition.
Apparently it was big.
I don't know how successful it'll be, but I'm going on strike.
The sports betting lines were big on it, maybe.
This is what's wrong with society.
And technically it's sports betting, so that means...
No, shut up. There's betting on everything.
You're right. There was betting on the presidential
election.
You
stop right now. Gross. I've already talked over these last two shows that I've done with you present for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to talk already too much about the hot dog eating competition.
Well, the odds ranged from Chestnut for 2,500, minus 2,500 to minus 1,800, so...
All right, well, now I need Alex Brasky to do me a huge favor, which is to get me to stop hearing about the hot dog eating contest.
That's honestly what I came on here to talk about, guys. Joey Jaws, another legendary performance. 71 hot dogs and buns, I think. Didn't get his record 76. He was a little disappointed, but my, oh, my, what a legendary athlete we've been witnessing these past 10 years or so.
Thank you.
Alex,
keyword there. Look at that.
Alex, you betrayed me.
I think Bulldog would disagree. I saw him tweet out yesterday denying the fact that this is even a sport, and I would probably agree with him. But in jest, it's very fun to
yes,
to pick fun at the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not amongst the popular opinion, apparently, because people will watch this. But I have to keep my eyes away from that, man. I can't do it. I can't handle it, man. I quite literally cannot stomach it, which is bottomless pits for those people.
Yeah, it is quite unsettling to see buns being dunked into water.
Oh,
soggy bread, not something that really sits well on the mind. So
nope.
I can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, so that's pretty much where we're at here. But also, it's been a while, Alex. We have a lot to catch up on. There was a whole off season that happened, and it would be a good time to really be able to catch up with you about the comings and goings about the National Football League, the Bills in particular as well, with training camp just a couple weeks away now as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to apologize earlier, a little mix up on my end. I was telling Evan that communication is key in this world, and something did come up. I appreciate Derek, I think, taking the fall in an earlier segment,
yep,
saying it was a communication thing on his part, but it was really my error. So I do apologize, and I appreciate you guys sticking with me. But yeah, training camp right around the corner. This is the time of year where fans really start to kick into high gear after the July 4th holiday. They really start chomping at the bit for that information, who's going to surpass who in competition positional battles. And the Bills don't have all that many positional battles, but there are a few very key points of emphasis entering this training camp.
Alex, I was falling on the sword because I'm used to that, man. Let me do that for you. I appreciate that, though.
Well, you wearing the sling, I didn't want to add insult to injury there. I wanted you to heal up from that before you fell on any other sword moving forward.
So. Alex, my life is an insult, so let's not worry about that. But you mentioned it, though, position battles. There's not many of them, But heading toward training camp, getting geared up for it, Alex, what are the ones that you're looking at the most as HBO is going to start rolling in here? They're going to start filming probably some good positional battles because the Bills may not have a lot of them, but there are going to be a couple and they're high quality.
Yeah, cornerback two is the clear number one point of emphasis entering training camp. Maxwell Harrison drafted in the first round. His speed, his skill set is something the Bills haven't had in their cornerback room the past few years. If he's able to live up to expectations, he could pair mighty well with Christian Benford. Now, judging based on what we saw during OTAs and kind of him and Tre'Davious White, even Dane Jackson and others kind of filtering through, working in competition with each other for that starting role, I think we're going to see that continue to play out come training camp. Now, we must mention that Maxwell Harrison did sustain a leg injury at the tail end of mandatory minicamp, and he's also now dealing with some off-the-field issues. So there is something to consider there, but I'm really looking forward to that cornerback two battle. Tre'Davious White, Max Harrison, really the top two, I think, that are in competition for that job. And I've maintained it since they brought him in through free agency. I think Tre'Davious White right now is in line to win that job. I think they want to start the season with the veteran, maybe mix and match there, and maybe put Harrison in circumstances that would benefit his skill set, whereas Tre'Davious White lacking in certain phases of the game at this stage of his career. So I'm excited to watch cornerback two, especially those two and how things play out there.
Looking at the other side of the ball, I don't know if you're on the Elijah Moore train or not, but it's kind of been a growing theme the past couple weeks. So a position battle in the wide receiver room, what do you see that setup kind of looking like for the Bills through training camp and into the season?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the Elijah Moore train on my new venture, Buffalo Pregame, which is kind of an online offshoot of Bill's Digest.
Nice.
You're going to see plenty of that on my X account in the coming weeks. I made five bold predictions entering training camp, and Elijah Moore finishing as wide receiver three was one of my bold predictions. I think Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman, I think that's what the Bills want out of their top two wide receivers. And then beyond that, it's really a question mark. You have Curtis Samuel coming back. You have Elijah Moore. You brought in Joshua Palmer off the free agent pile. So someone has to separate themselves in terms of that group of three, and perhaps one of them can even elevate over Keon Coleman if he's not able to elevate his game to another level. So I'm interested to see really how it works out with Samuel, Palmer, and Moore. And if you ask me right now, just based on mini camp, there are no pads. You're not allowed to hit a wide receiver after the catch or anything like that. So it makes it a little bit easier for the pass catchers. But watching Elijah Moore out there, building the rapport with Josh Allen and other quarterbacks, just his smoothness throughout the route and the speed that he offers after the catch, I think could really be a boost to this Bills wide receiver room. But the Bills did pay Joshua Palmer a hefty sum in free agency, and like I said, they have Curtis Samuel coming back after 1 year in this system, so it won't be easy for Elijah Moore to elevate himself over those two or perhaps Keon Coleman, but right now I've really liked what I've seen from him, and I view him obviously brought in, I think, a little bit earlier than Chase Claypool was last year, but similar to that track, somebody that needs to prove themselves come training camp, and I'm confident he'll be able to do so.
Alex Brasky, Bills Digest, joining us here on the West Hur Hotline. Training camp just slightly over 2 weeks away here and getting geared up for this thing. Alex, of course, one of the things that I was trying to hammer on all throughout the draft offseason, draft preparation, everything like that, was get me some big boys up front at D-tackle. And they did that not once but twice with their group with drafting T.J. Sanders and then going back and getting Deion Walker in the fourth round. Also, signing Larry Ogunjobi, while he may be suspended for the first six games, it does seem like there's going to be a very crowded but pleasant defensive tackle rotation looking ahead.
Yeah, they really brought in a lot of pieces, as you mentioned, and they needed it. The defensive line was not up to par last year, and really it's never been a significant point of strength for the Bills under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, but with all the capital that they committed to the defensive line during this offseason, I don't see how it can't be better than it was last year. Now, it does have to play itself out. There's a lot of unproven there. You mentioned the two rookies, TJ Sanders and Deion Walker, both players who I think have high upside, especially TJ Sanders, someone who impressed me during minicamp and OTAs, albeit no pads, so it's tough to really determine, especially in the trenches. But if those two are able to turn into something, and then you mentioned Larry Ogunjobi coming back after six games, I don't see how this group isn't boosted from a season ago. Another one of my bold predictions was TJ Sanders will lead Bills defensive tackles in sacks. Ed Oliver will certainly have something to say about that. But I've completely flipped on TJ Sanders. When they selected him, due to the circumstances of the trade and everything like that, I wasn't too high on it. But watching him out there and seeing his skill set and seeing how he measures up alongside Bills offensive and defensive linemen, I like what I see from TJ Sanders. And you mentioned the others. I think this group, if it's not boosted from a season ago, something has gone drastically wrong.
That kind of leads into, I mean, last season the Bills were the underdog. They were counted out in multiple different national media outlets, and now they're favored in most betting markets to win every single game of the season. Are you confident? Like, what is your thought on, are the Bills truly better than they were last year? Are they kind of right around the same? Do you think they have taken a step forward or kind of sitting, you know, as a championship contender still like they were?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've placed them as a Super Bowl contender for the past several seasons, much like everybody else throughout the media sphere. But the way that the Bills are being talked about this offseason, I'm having a little bit of trouble with it. They're being pegged as a Super Bowl favorite, and I can understand why people would expect them to roll through the regular season and perhaps earn that number one seed in the AFC. The way the schedule's laid out, this is one of the easier schedules that I've seen the Bills have in the past several years. There's really no daunting stretch. You have tough matchups with Baltimore, Kansas City. You have Pittsburgh now building. Cincinnati you have down the road. You have the defending Super Bowl champions, Philadelphia Eagles, in Week 17. But there's really no 2-3-game stretch that you look at and say, wow, this could really cause the Bills to stumble. So I understand why people are pegging them to, like I said, walk through their regular season slate, win the AFC East, and perhaps earn that number one seed. But when you stack them up against the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs, like you said, I'm not so sure that you can point to any area on the Bills roster and say this is absolutely improved at this point. Like I mentioned, the defensive line, it should be improved, but there's a lot to prove there. So I think there's a lot left to be said for the Bills. You look at their weapons, I think those are a question. We talked about wide receiver. You have Khalil Shakir, but everything from then on out in terms of pass catchers is kind of a question mark. Dalton Kincaid coming off a disappointing season. James Cook, you don't know if he's going to be out there during training camp. He says he is. All signs point to no problem there, but you never know what you're going to have there. The defensive line, as I mentioned, in flux. Linebackers both dealt with injury last year. The secondary likely to have two new unproven starters. So the quarterback and the offensive line are sure things. The offensive line has been one of the best in football the past couple of years. Josh Allen coming off the MVP season. But if you look up and down the roster and the different position groups, there's a lot of question there. And I'm just having trouble with the Super Bowl favorite aspect of the Bills' expectations this offseason. I think they're going to be a phenomenal team. And like I said, I think they're going to have a great regular season record. But I think they're going to have to prove a lot in those different areas with unproven players and unproven commodities in order to take that next step.
Alex, when it comes down to it, because you mentioned, like, you know, you might be having a little bit of a tougher time with the Super Bowl favorite thing, but around the league, I don't necessarily know if I have a lot of confidence in most of the conference outside of, you know, that one team. but when it comes to Baltimore, Buffalo is able to handle them with relative consistency. Pittsburgh made a trade last week. That happened. And like the rest of the conference, though, it really does seem kind of like it might be more of an indictment from across the league than anything else that Buffalo is doing in particular, with a weaker schedule, with how the AFC East is panning out there. Could that be more of why it seems like the national viewpoint on the Bills is also far more favorable than it was a year ago?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. There is no surefire top team in the AFC. You look at the Chiefs, and you typically say this is the surefire top team in the AFC, and I think many still consider them as such, but they struggled through points of last season, and there's questions to go along with what they're going to experience this year. You look at the wide receiver room, they're bringing back two injured stars, Travis Kelce getting older, so who's going to step to the forefront there? Defensively, a couple spots, you're aging. So, yeah, I don't think that there's a surefire team in the AFC, but there are a few teams that have made key additions this offseason, and none more key than the Steelers adding DK Metcalf, Aaron Rodgers. You see the trade they made for Jalen Ramsey. So they're really stocking up. And if Aaron Rodgers can give them above average quarterback play and TJ Watt sticks around, that could be a really, really tough team to contend with. Somebody that could kind of come out of maybe not nowhere, but really improve their standing from a season ago. And you still have to worry about the Ravens. They took care of you during the regular season. I know that during the playoffs, the Bills have had the better of that matchup, but Derrick Henry is one scary dude, and Lamar Jackson, obviously MVP caliber. So there are teams in the AFC that do give me a little pause and a little cause for concern for the Bills. I think the Chargers are going to be much improved this year, and the Broncos, you saw them compete well last year. Their defense could be one of the best in the league, and if Bo Nix can make it work with what's, I think, a mediocre skill group, I think the Broncos could be much improved. So there isn't that surefire team, but there are teams that have been adding pieces, much like the Bills in this offseason. We're going to see in a few months how things are going to swing.
We will see how things swing there, Alex. And lastly here, more or less, because of the fact that the division is looking like it might be going through a little bit of change, obviously not at the top. The Bills should be safely atop the AFC East. But the Patriots seem to be favored in more games than years past right now, because it does look like they might be taking that next step. Miami might be acknowledging that their core might be needing a big change. And the Jets, well, let's see what the Jets have here. Who do you think, like, how do you think the pecking order goes for the rest of the division this year? Because it does look like it's an enticing and curious conversation.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if the Jets are able to do anything with Justin Fields at quarterback. They have offensive line concerns, and Justin Fields has been running for his life his entire career. So I don't see that changing with the Jets. The Dolphins, I am not high on the Dolphins this year, particularly with recent moves being made. You ship out a talented tight end in Jonnu Smith. You bring in Darren Waller off the scrap heap out of the country music charts. I'm not sure that's the right move to make there, but I think this is a division that the Bills are clearly the best team, but the New England Patriots, I think, are coming and coming fast. I like Mike Vrabel as a head coach. I like Drake May as a quarterback prospect. If Stephon Diggs can come off that ACL and put the offseason drama behind him, which he typically does, there's always something surrounding Stephon Diggs during the offseason, and this time he was on a boat doing what he does. So if he's able to go out and produce for this young quarterback, he can do somewhat of what he did for Josh Allen years ago. I'm not saying Stephon Diggs is still the same talent as all those years ago, but he was productive while on the field for the Houston Texans last year. So if he's able to provide Drake May with a bona fide number one target, I like what the Patriots could do this year. I like their defense, especially their secondary. Christian Gonzalez, a really talented young player. So I think the Patriots are probably number two in the pecking order, but Bills still clear, far and away favorite in the AFC East.
Alex, we appreciate you taking your time on a 4th of July weekend to join us here. So thank you, first and foremost, for being able to do so. But let the people know what you are up to and things that might be coming in the future here, because you did plug that you have something coming along, and let them all hear it.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I appreciate you guys sticking with me, allowing me to come on a little bit later, a lot to discuss, and I thought we got a lot in. But yeah, I'm with Bills Digest. You can continue to follow along there. We're going to have our training camp preview coming out right around July 14th. So leading into training camp, everyone will have plenty of time to read all about the, as you said earlier, the comings and goings from one Bills drive, and in this case, St. John Fisher, and also Buffalo pregame on Substack. Free subscription, I'm writing about Bills and Sabres primarily. We'll also have podcasting and videos down the road on YouTube, so be on the lookout for that. And really beyond that, I'm looking forward to MafiaCon. Derek and Zach joining me for a little guest spot at around 2:45. So if you're planning on going to MafiaCon, make sure you schedule around the stars of WGR showing up at around 2:45.
Hey, I appreciate that,
and Joe,
Alex.
And Joe, we'll have to get you involved as well. I don't know if there's enough microphone to go around with me, Derek.
I'm going to have to leave early. Joe might have to carry the rest of the show on that Saturday.
Yeah.
I might be leaving Joe here on purpose. Mm. Hey, Joe, here's this anchor. You mind tying it to your ankle?
Hopefully he'll have plenty to talk about, because with Bills training camp coming up, like I said, this is the fans' favorite time of year, and there's so much speculation and projecting to go along with it. So excited to follow along.
It is. It's very exciting, and we're getting to that point where it's starting to rev back up, and I can't wait. I always look forward to this time of year.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun, though, to join you. Finally be able to see you in person as well, Alex. And we're hoping, Zach and I, that we're also getting shipped off to training camp for a couple of days this year. So it'll be nice to get a little bit more familiar with the Bills beat.
That's great. That's great. And we'll see you soon, guys.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to it, Alex. And I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. Sounds good.
That's Alex Brasky on the West Her Hotline. Love talking to Alex.
Yeah, a lot of good Bills stuff there. Like I said, it's revving up. We're getting ready for it, and I'm excited. So
I did cringe for his mental health when he said he also was going to be talking about the Sabres.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Sort of thing. But, you know.
Anakin just became Darth Vader. Kind
but of Alex now. Alex is good at what he does, knows his stuff, and we love talking to him here. So always good to hear from him, always good to catch up. And as he said, I'll be joining him for MafiaCon in a couple of weeks. So
that's cool.
Go on. Head down there. We'll say what's up. Probably hang out afterward. We'll have ourselves a grand old time. Why? Because that's what we do here. So we'll come back. A little bit of a grab bag coming up in the next segment here. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you on a lovely Saturday, Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
I'm going to pop some tags.
All right. Do you sing this song?
Do I? No, I'm not answering that because I know what you're doing, because I do that to everybody. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. Maybe. My answer is going to be, maybe you shouldn't. Mm. There you go.
I don't sing the song, though, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Good job. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you, wrapping up a Sports Talk Saturday here with you all, as it has been a fantastic weekend, long weekend. You get started early.
Yeah. Really, the weekend's people. Just getting started.
Yeah. Well, slow down there, buddy. I'm not going to be able to keep up.
Why?
I don't know.
It has been a good weekend,
I just
though. Pulled
my arm out of a sling, so maybe that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, that's a new development, and that definitely, no doctor's office is open to tell you that. To do that. So.
I mean, it's a foolish assumption, but when it's a 2-week injury like that, I don't think they expect you to stay in the sling for the entirety of it.
They might. That might be why they call it a 2-week injury.
Maybe.
When they put a cast on for 6 months, they're not like, oh, yeah, here's the saw, you can cut it out.
Strains are different, okay?
Well, looking ahead for a quick weather forecast here, as you're talking about the beautiful weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really it, the beautiful weekend. As soon as you hit Monday, it's rain and humidity and hot for Monday through Friday.
Hey, you know what?
There's a 40 and up percent chance of rain.
Timing is perfect. Timing is everything in these sorts of endeavors. Today is probably going to be when you see a lot of family parties, things like that, gatherings, what have you. You probably had a decent amount of them yesterday too, but you know. Maybe there are some poor suckers that had to work yesterday. Somehow we didn't.
Yeah.
We'll take that.
We'll take that any day we can get it. I'm trying to.
But here we are now.
Yeah. Here we are in July
5th. Wow. Math was tough there. One day past the 4th of July.
Brother.
I couldn't even get it. I did, though. I did want to bring this up. And to just keep tying this together, that's why I don't do math in public. I don't even try and do that. To tie into the way the show started, not to go into the hot dogs again. Not to go into the hot dogs again.
You
but,
son of a...
What does the S in ESPN stand for, by the way?
You really want to do this?
Yeah, just say sports. Just
you,
say it.
You really want to do this?
Yeah.
You want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
The spelling bee.
Okay. We all know it's
so
sports.
So shut up.
We all know it's
that's
sports.
That also starts with an S.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right. But it's not the S in ESPN. Joey Chestnut's most unbelievable records.
Why am I here? Why is this my life?
The pastry that came and went and then came back, the Twinkies, 121 of them in 6 minutes.
Why is this a thing?
You like tortilla tacos?
I don't know.
126 in 8 minutes.
Dude, this... You're going to get me on my soapbox, aren't you?
I might, because there's 8 more slides.
Stop. I don't want...
You like hard-boiled eggs? Is that a nice breakfast for you?
No.
141 in 8 minutes.
No, not really, and I dare you to say that to Jeremy White.
Oh, is he not a hard-boiled egg guy?
He's not an egg
he's
guy
not
at
an
all.
Egg
I know he wasn't an egg salad
at all.
Guy, but I like scrambled eggs. I don't like egg
no,
salad.
No.
He's not an
no,
egg
no.
guy.
The man, like, anything that's an egg, the man will not.
Lucky when I filled in for Josh, I didn't bring any hard-boiled eggs, and I would have gotten
Don't even bring that stat to him.
You like shrimp wontons?
Not really.
I do. 390 in 8 minutes.
I do.
390 in 8 minutes.
I do.
Oh, one thing we all love, chicken wings.
Don't. No, stop.
182
stop.
In 30 minutes. That's the record.
30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Eating for 30 minutes.
They got to be cleaned up. Cleaned up to count.
Competitively cleaned up 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That is... Dude, forget enjoying that. That is a job.
That's an endurance athlete, if I've ever heard
no,
of.
No, that's not an athlete. That's a job, though.
Do you like those little jalapeno popper bites? Like the cheese, the jalapeno breaded?
They're okay. How many of those did he scarf down?
118 in 10 minutes.
You do realize there are people starving around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we fix that?
We know his record, 76 hot dogs
instead
in 8 minutes.
Letting somebody have 70-some-odd hot dogs in a certain amount of time, or... 183 chicken wings in 30 minutes.
So
maybe we could try to feed some other people.
Maybe.
Instead of shoving it all down several people's gullets. Because he's not alone. It's not like he's doing this for funsies. He's competing against other people.
Mm-hmm.
That means multiple other people are eating not as many of these foods, but they're trying.
Yeah. There's more slides.
You're going to get me more and more upset about this.
This one holds a little close to home for me because I found my old iPod the other day where I filmed a March Madness bracket breakdown when I was 10, right?
I love
with
that
a little whiteboard. And my one friend who is the color commentator just slid a box of frozen waffles and said the slogan for the company is like our brand sponsorship. So 81 toaster waffles in 8 minutes, Joey Chestnut.
And how many minutes?
8 minutes. So 10 per minute.
Depending on how they're toasted.
They're probably soggier to get down, I would assume.
I'm in hell.
Oh, happy July 5th, everybody.
I am in actual hell.
You ready for this one?
No.
This is the pinnacle. This is the finale. You ready?
You know how ready I'm not? I'll say it to you in Spanish. No, I'm not ready. I will never be ready. Stop.
You like bologna?
No.
15.75 pounds of bologna slices.
Disgusting.
8 minutes. He gained 15 pounds in 8 minutes.
No crap.
And he went on record and said after the hot dog eating contest, he gains about like 27 pounds. I can, you know, a quarter pounder with cheese is pushing it for me. I don't know how that happens. QPC.
I don't.
But he's.
You're just going to ruin good food, or at least enjoyable food for people forever.
I just can't believe
society does it. Like,
yeah.
We have these competitions.
It's not me.
It's not Joe. Joe is doing what a media member would do right now, which is pointing out some things about a thing that happened that was relevant to something yesterday that was happening. To your credit, you are doing your job. To my credit, I'm not throwing up. But
the wontons are the craziest one.
Why did this become a thing? How did this become a thing? Since when, as a people, did we decide I want to watch people eat food?
Let's find that out. Let's see what the AI overview says.
I am asking in a hypothetical manner. I do not need a real answer, Joe.
It sounds like a Viking-esque thing. In the 19th century, roughly around 1878, the first record, we got it. The first recorded pie-eating contest took place in Toronto in 1878.
The first Nathan's hot dog eating contest started in 1972. Yes.
Okay.
Then that's where the downfall of society began.
What was the record back then? How many were people dogging
down? Because at least everyone was just trying to eat one pie, which is already hard enough, by the way.
Oh, that is. With all the filling? That's something.
Trust me. Ready?
That's what...
I did that as a bet one time because the Sabres refused to score a goal in three straight games. And then on March 14th, I said, I'll eat a whole pie if they get shut out again. That was a dumb thing from me.
Did you say it here on air or did you say it somewhere else?
I said it when I was in the press box.
Oh, no. So you were held to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because then I got video or it didn't happen, and I'm like, to my credit, I used a pie that did not have a lot of filling.
Okay, what did you get?
A lemon meringue pie.
I can't do meringue.
Super sugary. That was the mistake I made.
I can't do meringue. That's just eggs, man.
But it was fluffy and light.
So is whipped cream.
I'm just saying, I picked something that didn't have like a lot of like fruit in it or something.
Yeah.
But I had to eat a whole pie in one sitting. I hated every second of it. And in all of his wisdom, Howard Simon shares the tweet of the live stream going on.
In the first Nathan's hot dog eating contest held on July 4th, 1926. So this is 100 years now. Like 99. Next year will be 100. 13 hot dogs were eaten by the winner.
And now...
We went from 13 to Chestnut's record of 76, and he got 70 and a half yesterday.
Again, every day... We stray further from the path.
The contest was reportedly a result of a patriotic argument among three men.
I want to go back in time and kick each of them in the shin and say, you're all losing the argument. Shut up. I wonder what that would do to change the fabric of society today.
In 2024, Chestnut could not compete. Because he was banned due to a sponsorship with a vegetarian food brand.
Do you see what I'm talking about here now? Do you understand the absurdity of this segment?
That sounds like an athlete sponsorship that gets in the way.
Of doing your job?
Maybe.
Of doing your job?
I don't know.
Of doing your job. He got banned because of a certain sponsor that wanted to pay for him to be good at what he does.
Joey Chestnut's also an animal, though. Did you see him choke that guy out who ran onto the stage?
What?
Some guy jumped up. I don't know what he was protesting. He was in a Darth Vader mask. And Joey Chestnut just grabs him... Just chokeholds him and slams him back while he's eating hot dogs. And he just goes back to shoving more hot dogs in his mouth. He still wins.
That's actually insane.
He still wins. If I'm not mistaken.
Choking someone out is probably more of an easier case on how to get banned from something.
And...
Than having a sponsorship from a vegetarian company.
Right.
This is what I'm talking about, how silly this whole thing is and how much you're making me hate my life.
Well, I've got one last one for you, and then I'll drop it, I promise.
Gosh darn it.
So on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week, they were speaking about it. Joey Chestnut, he broke another world record. He ate 21 pounds of shrimp cocktail. And the picture of him with the cocktail sauce all over his hands and face.
Stop describing it. Stop describing it.
21 pounds of shrimp and ketchup and horseradish. I'll get off the soapbox now. I'm done.
I'm trying to have a peaceful end to this show. And you...
We can in the next segment.
As per usual... have chosen specifically violence.
On a weekend where there's not a lot of sport happenings, Ehlers is the biggest thing, and that happened earlier this week. The true sport emerges in the hot dog eating
contest.
Catch
me by the pool. You're getting whacked with one of those
noodles. I wonder how many of those Joey Chestnut's eaten.
And I only need one good arm to operate that.
Mm. But I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with the food eating contest now.
You're getting whacked in the back of the head, brother. Lovingly.
Okay.
But also angrily.
I'll take it. I'll take it. A little bit of disdain. That's fine. I haven't even gotten into Badlands Chugs yet.
Please, let's not.
Let's not. The question I have for you now is, can we not? Can we not? Can we not?
We can.
Not. Thank you. And we will not.
Lemonade chugging is far less impressive, so I don't even want to get into it.
And we will not go into it for the last segment as we wrap things up, coming up. All right, we're going to do everything in our power to stop Joe Cantley from talking about anything competitive eating, solely because I know he's doing it now to upset me. So
it's July 5th, man. I gotta grab it with straws I can.
That's fair, but you know what? We'll grab it a different one to end this one.
Okay.
College Football 26 comes out on July 10th.
That's right. Right before Superman.
Yes. Right before Superman. So next week's got some fun little things going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I've got the question for you. With playing college football, who's the school you're looking to revive to glory?
Wyoming was last year, because
mm-hmm.
that was like, let's bring it back to when Josh Allen was there. Like, let's get a couple more NFL guys
Let's get some greatness out of the Cowboys.
I stopped playing that. I play a lot more of create my character and take him through in every position.
All right, well, what school do you end up going to? Just whatever's offered?
I started at UB, mm-hmm. and then I kind of just take the smaller Arkansas, the pigs, or whatever they are.
I'm going to take my one-win Purdue Boilermakers and make them back.
Yeah, the Purdue Boilermakers.
We won one game last year.
I hit the transfer portal and went to Michigan, and then I ended up going – I got drafted by the Commanders in the NFL
but
somehow.
Yeah, no, so basically if there was like this idea of like doing a connected college thing, what's the school you would pick? I'm going with my one-win Purdue Boilermakers. Need to get things going again. Make it right.
I like that. I would probably...
In Purdue football.
I'd pick Arkansas, I think. Just some fun.
Mm-hmm.
I got that one randomly dealt to me in like a random selection one, and I kind of liked it.
Man, if Purdue would have been able to break through to the Elite Eight too, they almost beat Houston. There would have been something for Boilermakers to hold on to.
Well... We might be able to play through March Madness soon enough with college basketball rumors starting to swirl.
Rumors. They showed that they were making it.
Well, yeah, they're actually making it.
We just don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a mistake that they released the promos the same year that they were going to do it. Correct? Like, that was like last year when they were announcing that this game was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
They did that purposely knowing that it was going to come out that year.
Yeah, so maybe it comes out in the middle of next year. Middle
nice.
Of this year, or maybe early 2026 or something
that
like that.
That would be nice. It mm-hmm. would be fun. It would actually be cool to see that.
And two studios working together.
Maybe.
Rumor. That's the rumor part of it.
Yeah, we don't know if that's actually what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. But it could be interesting. So, yeah, it's sports video game season starting because Madden comes out in August.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But honestly, college football, it's a tough sell for me right now because... It's the same game as last year, just with new players. It's basically this. It's the Madden situation now. You're just getting the same product with different things slapped onto it every year.
Yeah, I'm so nervous about that.
It's more of a tough sell for anyone to buy that, I feel like. But people will.
I also think because you have more teams to work with college football, whereas Madden, you just have
there's
just
a replayability
the 32.
Factor that is not... there within Madden.
Right. But I could just play college football 25 and do the replayability stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm talking about gameplay mechanics. They're almost identical. Mm. They're not really reinventing the wheel by any means.
It's for me, though, it's very interesting in the way of, like, I don't know. I feel like Madden's easier to play overall.
I don't know. It's weird going from one to the other because they do actually play a little differently.
Pre-snap is a lot more challenging with college football, which I do like.
Well, especially with the stadium pulse. You don't really have that
but
in Madden.
Also, the chess match is different. You got to make sure everything is set. Otherwise, you're getting smoked.
Mm-hmm. Max Protect, baby. Max pass protection. It's my favorite thing to do.
Slide to the left or the right and don't read it wrong.
I don't run. I don't run in Madden or college football. I'm a passing heavy guy.
Running is so fun.
I don't like
it. In college football. Mostly because I like playing Big Ten schools, and it's something that's part of their identity.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
So you need to have a run game.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a little bit of a run game.
See, I went to Michigan in my create a character thing, and I just the running back, he had disdain for me because I just was not handing
audible out of everything.
Yeah, I would just hold the right trigger down and start rolling out on a handoff and just run myself.
Oh, that's not
the only running I do is scrambling and quarterback design runs.
Will the Sabres have a trade for Bo Byram in the works?
We got a couple days until the media cycle picks back up on Monday. We'll see.
And also, this was a year ago when the Savoy for McLeod trade happened. So, here's to hoping. Maybe they're all away on the weekend. I don't know.
Hope's you-know-what strategy. Been said within the organization.
I'm just talking about trying to generate some excitement. Have something for us.
Mm-hmm.
But for our guest, Alex Brasky, for Evan on the board, for Joe Kelly, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Thank you all for listening, especially because there's nothing going on and you tolerated me yelling at Joe, who was talking about competitive eating. So thank you all. If you stuck around throughout at any point through today's show, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Jeremy and Joe back at it 6 a.m. on Monday.